one of those clients is speaking today is Nancy Gallagher from NBC Universal. And Nancy, tell me if I'm right with the title here, but I have Senior Vice President, New Sports and Affiliate Research.
Close enough.
Okay, good. That's what I had down. And continued welcome to everyone joining us. It is quite a turnout. And again, if you would mute your lines, please mute your lines. There's already some background noise coming in. And so that way Nancy will be able to get started. What the council does is the council was created a number of years ago to conduct research on methodology used by the Nielsen Company, now Nielsen, in their products. We operate, there's a group of about 35 Nielsen clients. There are other clients who participate on our committees. Nancy Gallagher of NBC Universal chairs one of the committees of the CRE, and it's a committee that's looking at universe estimates. And they specifically did some work on media-related universe estimates in Dallas-Fort Worth. And Nancy, I'll turn it over to you. The presentation is online. And again, a lot of people coming in very quickly. And if you've just joined us or if you joined before and hadn't, please mute your line for now. We'll have an opportunity for questions afterwards. So except for the beeps, I think we're already there, Nancy, and the beeps are good news.
Okay, yeah. I just want to start before I start really getting into the presentation to talk about the timing, because this project was started a very long time ago. And because it was started such a long time ago, like in April 2008, and we fielded it toward the end of 2009, but because of that, some of it already looks a little dated, because little things such as the iPad hadn't been released yet. So I just kind of want to make sure that everybody is aware of that, because usually the first thing everybody wants to ask about is tablets. So I just kind of want to start out by saying, This has been a long process, this project, and some of it might look a little dated already, but that was not really our purpose anyway. We were not trying to create universe estimates. So I'm going to start out with a little shout out to the committee members. They're listed all up on the slide now. It was a really great group. Everybody was very active. Everybody really helped. Some of the people might be on the call now. Several of them told me they couldn't make the call today. But we had great help, particularly, Christine Pierce at Nielsen was a real major help. And we had a very good working relationship with the people at Research Triangle, Randall Kielsing and Melissa Heaton Helton. Okay, here's what was our mission. We wanted to conduct an independent household media-related equipment survey, because we wanted to see that whereas you can get age, sex, and everything and verify against many sources, including the census, but we wanted to, we know that for some of the media-related things, Nielsen uses what's in the sample as the universe. And we basically wanted to see, was that reliable? What kind of comfort level could we have with that? But also, we wanted to start doing a little testing to see if there were ways you could get this information in an enumeration survey or something similar without actually having to be in the household and observing. So that's one reason why we spent, when you see the timeline, you'll see we spent an inordinate amount of time on the questionnaire, because it was so hard to get the questions exactly right, and we thought that was going to be one of the really big telling things from the survey on if you could actually ask the questions. So this is, to set expectations, as I said, this is not the definitive anything. This is a very much a first step just to assess comfort level, see what areas we think we may need to, we may really need to do some better research on, see what if it's possible to get results without observing, and to kind of see what we want to study further, because it is a first step, and we know it's like it's just the entry into a process. And we chose Dallas-Fort Worth for many reasons. One, we wanted to use an LPM market so that we would be able to compare against Nielsen sample data. We wanted a market where we could study within the ethnic populations as well. We wanted a market that was not all urban, because we know there's a lot of antiquated C-dish, there's still a few antiquated C-dish satellites and things like that out in some of the rural areas. So we wanted to make sure we had something that had at least had a little bit of D-County. And we decided when we were doing this, it was right when the digital convergence was going to take place. So we wanted to try and see a market that had had a pretty high over-the-air, penetration, so we could see how many people went with digital converter boxes versus going to cable or satellite. So that's another reason why we chose Dallas, because it had over 18% of its households over the air. So here's our timeline, which you will see is very long. Because we issued our RFP in April 2008, selected it in September 2008, had our first serious meeting with Research Triangle in January 2009, and then started a very, very, very long questionnaire testing process. And one of the things Research Triangle thought we could use would be to use show cards, but we didn't really want to get into show cards for media equipment and devices. I mean, show cards are fine when you're doing an in-person thing for demographics like age and income, but we really wanted to be able to ask questions, so if we wanted to go to an online survey or something else, we would have the perfect questions. So it took us a very long time to get the questionnaire finalized, and then we did the field work from August to November 2009. Part of the field work, as you'll see, was we actually audited it. We really wanted this to be done right. And then we had our report, and then there were some delays in getting the webinar set up, which is one reason why it's been so long. But the big thing to remember is, really, this was all in the field before the iPad was introduced. So we're not going to have anything on tablets, and that's one reason why we are going to, I'll talk about next steps, and that's something we're going to be next stepping. So here's the sample. We used the census block groups, and then we used locatable mailing address. We were trying to do it, as close to Nielsen sampling as we could. Then, when we were setting it up, our assumption was we started with an initial sample of 1,000, and then we figured we'd probably lose about 120 for not being, being accessible housing units. And going through it, you'll see we thought we'd come out with 600 cooperating households. We actually wound up with a little more, which was surprising, but which was also a very important thing. So we wound up getting 644.
Nancy, this is Richard here. If you can hear me, I would ask everyone to mute their line. We've had some new additions, and there's some background noise. So we're going to find a quieter solution in the future, so thank you.
Okay.
One other thing for people to know is we are recording this session. So, thanks. Thanks, Nancy.
Okay. We also did have a little bit of waiting just to make sure that, we did some oversampling of the higher density black and Hispanic areas. And we worked with Nielsen on the waiting so we could try to be as close to their controls as possible. There was a personal interview. We had one person who interviewed per household. It was done like right on the doorstep. We had lots and lots of iterations of the questionnaire. Which I'll talk about a little bit more. It took us, it says here 7 months, but actually it took a little longer because we kind of started noodling around with it a little bit before January. And, we had a lot, we went to a lot of sources to try to get the questions right. We worked with Nielsen. We worked with some other market research groups, and the Consumer Electronics Association was a big help. But just trying to come up with ways to describe HD, things like that, DVD versus versus DVR, you know, all sorts of questions, which were very complicated. And one of the things that was really interesting, especially for the Spanish language version, was it seems that depending on what part of where you're from, the phrase you use to describe satellite TV is different. So this was one of the, you know, this was something we discovered going through here, which was kind of important because you wanted to ask it either A or B, because it turned out there were two different terms that were in common use depending on if you were from Mexico or from some of the Caribbean countries. So after a lot of testing, in person, we tested amongst ourselves, our colleagues, we had people come in and we tested it down at RTI in English and in Spanish. We went, you know, there was a lot of time and money was spent in the testing. We got it down to 47 questions with all the skip patterns. And then we got it down to the show cards were only for the, you know, like the income type questions and the demographic areas. There were no show cards used for any of the media related questions, which really we're proud of. So we asked about the presence of working sets, the number of sets, if for cable, satellite, telco, over the air, did you have, you know, HD, how big was your screen, DVDs, DVRs, all your standard things. We also asked some questions about, oops, I think the wrong slide, some other video about VOD, about how people accessed online, the sling bar, you know, type devices, iPods, video iPods, portable DVD players, etc. And we, you know, did some radio questions and a lot of questions about the gaming systems. Telephones, landline, internet. And then we asked for personal media if anyone in the household owned things like an iPod, a video iPod, things like that. We asked that on a person's basis. So we did a lot of pre-testing. We had brought 20 people in for the final in-person pre-testing. And we did, you know, some were Spanish language. As a result of that, we did a little more adjustments and then developed the field manuals and the brochures for the interviewers and the brochures to leave for the people, the potential respondents who weren't home. So we, you know, we developed all the, you know, standard field work type, you know, things. And then here's where I think one reason why we had more respondents than we thought we would. And that's because I give RTI a lot of credit for this. They did a great, great process with the field interviewers. They did a lot of interviews. They narrowed it down to 10 candidates, all of whom were experienced field interviewers. And then we all went down to Dallas for a lovely weekend in August where the weather was like it was in New York today. And we spent 2.5 days training the interviewers. There were daily tests. Lots of mock interviews, lots of practice, and at the end of it, two of the interviewers we decided weren't up to snuff, so they were let go, and one of the bilingual interviewers turned out really not to be bilingual, they really were Spanish language only, so we kept them on and used them for, you know, Spanish language households. But I was there, the CRE was there, Ernst & Young, who were auditing the field staff, were there, and it was, you know, it was a really intense training process, but I really recommend similar processes in the future because it got great results. EY went out and audited the field interviewers and found out everything was great. Everybody was going, reading the questions exactly as they should. Nobody was, you know, skipping things. Nobody was putting their own spin on it. It was a really well-trained interviewing pool. So we started the field work in August. It was completed by late October, a little ahead of schedule. And then we had debriefing sessions with the interviewers to see if there was anything we could gain that we might want to use for a future, you know, future study. And the one thing that came out was that they did all this on paper in books. And by the time we were debriefing them, some of, you know, their technology had improved a bit. And so I think if we were doing it again, or when we, I might consider doing it on an iPad type thing to help automate the skip processes and stuff. But, you know, but basically that was the, you know, the real easy only problem that came out a bit was that some, it was all done on paper, which is a more cumbersome process than an automated process. The questioning itself kind of, went pretty well. So the eligible cases, so this is where, oops, keep hitting the wrong button here. Okay, so we wound up with 644 completed interviews. We had three we couldn't do because the people didn't speak English or Spanish. We did have 125 straight refusals. We had 20 gated communities we could not get into, either buildings or communities. And then we had 128 where we just couldn't find anyone home. And there was a really in-depth pattern for how many attempts you had to make, having to make them on different days of the week, at different times of the day, et cetera, et cetera. So we had a 70% completion rate, which we were very, very happy with. So the results, pretty good. Most of the primary characteristics were very close to the Nielsen UEs as far as cable, satellite, number of sets, though there were some differences in the ethnic populations for number of sets that were not quite significant, but noticeable, shall we say. We did find HD characteristics were higher in the CREs in our study. Now, one of the first things we found was our HD characteristics were a lot higher, but then it turned out when Nielsen did their HD stuff, they hadn't done over-the-air HD reception, which actually is possible, so they had to redo their universe estimates, too. We were a little lower in DVDs, particularly among the Hispanic homes. But other than that, everything was, was pretty comfortable. So here's our number of sets. And you'll see it was not a lot of difference between, what we found and what Nielsen found. So we are in the ethnic group, and then you see there kind of was a bit of a difference in that we found, especially in African-American households, we had a much higher incident of single-set households than they had, and the same thing among the Hispanic population. Cable satellite, we were pretty close. Though we did learn one thing, which I think would be really helpful to everyone doing future research, and that is cable is a generic term. If you ask people if they have cable, they will say yes. If you ask them who their provider is, they will say DirecTV. So it's kind of like there's over the air and there's cable. You really have to do that extra probe if you want to know if they have satellite, traditional wired cable, or if they have one of the telcos. And Dallas-Fort Worth is actually pretty high in telco because it's a big AT&T U-verse market. So, but we really, this was the first thing when the guys went out and they said people said they had cable, and then respondents kept saying that it was DirecTV. So.
Excuse me once again. If everyone could please mute your phone. You have a lot of people on the call and side conversations interfere. Sorry, Nancy. You're back.
Okay. But as you see, we were very, very, very close to the Nielsen estimates. I mean, really close. Particularly, satellite was dead on. So that was pretty close. Digital cable, very, very close. So pretty good. Okay, HD, DVR, VCR, et cetera. HD, we found more than Nielsen found. And one of the things we would like to do, because HD was one of the hardest concepts to go through. And if you looked at our questionnaire, went into a lot of detail trying to actually describe for people what HD was, because we knew this was going to be a tough one. So we asked questions do you think you might have an HD TV? Is it a flat panel TV? How deep is it? How big is the screen? Is it more of a rectangle than a square? How long have you owned this TV? Things like that, to kind of help get at if it really was an HD set or not. because if they owned the TV for, you know, since 1990, it was not an HD set. So we went through a lot of asking about that. DVRs, we were pretty close. DVD players were a little lower, but that might have actually been the canary in the coal mine, because DVD players are starting to kind of fall down a bit. Non-TV households. What really surprised us, and this really was like the first indication I had of the whole cord cutting, etc. arena, was we found a much greater percentage of non-TV households than we expected to find. I mean, it wasn't like a huge thing, but, you know, Nielsen said it was 99.2% TV households. We found 97.6%. And this was kind of like the real first time anyone ever even thought of what's going on out there. So that was like one of our biggest surprises. Now, we went back to these non-TV households because we were trying to find out, were they people who just after the digital convergence couldn't receive TV, or were they cord cutters, were they content objectors, et cetera, et cetera. So we went back in May of 2010 to contact those households. And what we found was that we couldn't find most of them, which leads us to believe that maybe Nielsen's theory about the low, you know, Nielsen says it's the lower end of the economic spectrum for the most part, that probably, you know, this kind of gives credence to that, because these people had moved. We couldn't find a lot of them. The phones had been disconnected. There was no phone, things like that. So we only were able to find three of the non-TV households. Two of them watched TV on the Internet only, one of whom had formerly been a cable sub, and the third one was one of those digital convergence people who since the interview had gotten a TV that worked. So that was kind of one of the things that really surprised us. So basically, for future studies, you know, our best practices would be spend a lot of time on the questionnaire, get it right. We moved deadlines a lot of times because we thought the quality was more important than meeting a deadline. Another thing, and this is just a little negotiation advice, we did this with, there could be no cost increase with RTI. We told them, this is the money, this is it. If anything has to be redone or anything, if we're not getting enough households from the sample, we're still not going to pay you any more money. You have to fix it. So I did learn something from GE sourcing all those years. Use great interviewers. Train the interviewers well. If you can audit the interviewers or do as much observation as you can, that's really good. In the future, when we go out again, we want to see if we can do iPad scripts for the interviewers, because that will help automate the skip patterns better. We're going to always probe on the cable term, because if we want to know if it's wired or satellite, you got to ask. When we're asking if people have a landline phone or a cell phone, we also then need to make sure we know who are cell phone onlys. And really, and this is something I think everyone in the industry is starting to do now, but when you get a non-TV household, rather than terminating the interview, have follow-up questions. How long have they not been TV? How do they get their video, et cetera, et cetera? So that we can start getting some information from non-TV households. Okay, now the next step is the CRE has a sample quality committee that's proposed a three-market study, and part of that study would be an update on the media-related universe estimates. And in this case, we would certainly be including tablets. Yeah, in the study we did, we asked about, you know, we found a few people who use mobile video, okay, 5%, and we found about 17% who watch video on an iPod. But you know, this was really before the tablet thing was out there. So I think that's really an important thing to be looking at. But other than that, question time.
Nancy, thank you. Thank you, and we're moving along well. I would ask a question, we can open up to everyone, but before we conducted the field research, and really the motivation was that there was concern that the universe estimates in local markets, which are derived from the sample, are somehow or potentially somehow invalid because of the way they're derived. And I'm wondering what's your general sense of that now, having conducted the actual field research, at least in the one market that we did.
Yeah. I mean, my comfort level is higher. Now, also, yes, as people on the phone may or may not know, the CRE also did a really involved non-response bias study. And some of the findings here kind of gel with what their findings were. Like, we found a little more HDTV, and their findings were that some of the more upscale, technically innovative, expensive households were more likely to refuse to be in the sample. So that kind of, you know, those two findings kind of went down the same path. But yeah, I have a lot more comfort with a lot of the things. I do have some concerns with some of the smaller things that may be coming out because it's getting so diverse now with the, you know, with people watching on your Xboxes and over the top. That's another thing we didn't talk about here was over the top because that really wasn't out yet either. So I think as it gets more and more complex, it's going to be more and more important to track of everything, whether it's the Stat Nielsen releases or not, just to, you know, to have the information for the future as well, because we're going to have to, you know, things are going to have to move very quickly, and it is going to become more and more important to have some of the less penetrated devices adequately represented.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. We're going to experiment now and see with close to 300 people on the line or somewhere around there whether we can just take questions. So if you have a question, unmute yourself, give your name, and we'll go with the first name we hear.
Hey, Nancy, this is David Braid. How are you?
Hi, David.
Just a question about, I think the number was 120 of the gated community. I mean, that seems rather large. I didn't realize that so many people in the Dallas market were scared that they had to lock themselves in. What do you think about those homes? I mean, would that not perhaps, I'd like to think that those people probably all had TVs in there. Would that have changed the non-TV set household number, you think, a little bit?
I don't think so, because it could also be, you know, like if you did in New York, you know, 90% of the buildings have doormen, and those would be considered gated. So, you know, I don't know how much, it's hard to tell. We tried to get into the mall. They had cards they left with the security people, things like that. You know, there was a big effort made to get into them, but.
Did you get into any of the gated?
There was only 20 that were gated.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I looked, the eyes are failing. I saw the 125 and thought that was it.
No, that 125 were the refusals. It was 20 that were gated.
I see, my bad.
That also kind of, you know, but as you said, that also kind of does kind of go with the non-response bias findings about more expensive places. So, like I said, if you're doing that in New York, it wouldn't really have that much to do with income because a lot of, you know, very middle-class buildings have doormen who don't let you in either, or who have, and the lower-income buildings have buzzers where no one's going to buzz you in.
Thank you, David. Another question. Give your name. Line, you may be muted, so unmute yourself. The line's open for questions. And again, we are recording.
If nobody has any questions, I'd like to ask use the panel out there. What should we be looking for in a future study?
Again, if you have a comment, just give your name and we'll go with the first names. We're certainly reaching out to the client community for input on this.
Okay, while we have the client community, let's get some input.
I mean, this is David again. The DVR and trying to come up with penetration estimates so that Nielsen is properly installing the samples. I mean, the DVR, I think we all would agree, has just changed our lives forever. And we really don't have There's no benchmark.
Other voices?
I had a question. This is Tim Maxwell.
Okay, Tim.
And just out of curiosity, did you run into any issues where someone might have a set-top box that's for over-the-air only identify themselves as cable homes?
No, we actually asked about that very, very carefully, and we had 7.7% of people who just had the digital converter box for just over-the-air.
Nancy, this is Steve McGowan. Trying to capture within a household all of the different sources that they have for watching television, I can imagine is going to be a challenge for Nielsen or all of us through surveys and even observation. I mean, where can they stream Netflix from? Where can they get Amazon video? That would be something I would ask for the group to maybe consider.
We did have a whole section of questions on that about where how they got their internet access. Did they stream through the Xbox or similar things?
Complicate matters, is that available on the TV set or is that available on a computer? It just gets uglier and uglier.
It does, yeah. And the whole OTT, do you have an OTT set? Do you know what it is? Is your set connected to the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Kevin Mead from HRP. My question is, what you probably should look at in the future is who's going to be providing internet, whether it's going to be through a bio system or whether it's going to be broadband or whether it's going to be through 3G.
Okay, yeah, that was one of the...
That's a factor.
Yeah, that's one of the questions we actually did ask this time. We asked about it, we asked very in-depth about who their internet provider was, with what kind of service it was, were they getting, we asked about, we didn't ask about 4G because that wasn't out yet, but we asked if they got it through their cable company, if they got it through their phone company, if they got it through a DSL line, et cetera, et cetera. We kind of, that was a big section we wanted to get some data on, even though it's not a published number. But we wanted to see if you could ask and get good answers. There was some don't knows on that, because one of the things I think that was kind of, that to me, which is more for a Nielsen type, finding was some of the things had a pretty high percentage of don't knows because people didn't know what it was.
Like even like Wi-Fi, because I have a feeling that's, more and more people providing Wi-Fi, that they're not getting it through a provider, but they're getting it through the stores or in the air.
Yeah, or their neighbor.
Yeah, exactly.
Other questions?
Yes, this is Brett. I was just going to see if you had any information on the fiber optic.
I think we actually did ask on that because this is a big U-burst market, and U versus fiber optic.
Yes, I'm actually in Dallas, and there's U-verse and Verizon Fios, so there's two of them.
Yeah, we also, we did get data on both of those.
Other suggestions, where next? Nancy's committee, by the way, if you're interested in getting involved in this, is participating on the committee, send a note to info@researchexcellence.com. And we'll forward it to Nancy. If you're interested in otherwise getting involved in the CRE, send it as well. Other questions, other contributions?
This is Holly. I got a quick question. Are you planning on running the study in any other market?
Yes, we're thinking of going out to, doing it in three additional, looking at three additional markets of kind of different market types.
Do you have an idea what those are yet?
No, we're still discussing. We're trying to decide if we want to go with like a high-tech market, a low-tech market, a larger market, a smaller market, a heavy ethnic market. We're trying to kind of narrow down, who the candidates are.
Thanks, Holly. We still
Nancy?
Got a few.
This is Sharon in Phoenix. I have a question about your sample in terms of foreclosures in the market in that area. We're in a market where we have a higher foreclosure rate, and I don't even know if that was included in your study because of the time frame, but did that have any impact?
Yeah, I think it did, because when we looked at our data, there were a lot of unoccupied.
And were there any suggestions on how to handle that, or did you replace the homes, or?
No, we didn't replace. We just went out with we start out with 1,000 addresses, and then we got down to like 800 something that were actually occupied.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was, we had all sorts of, part of the field training was all sorts of rules for making a location unoccupied.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that anyone near the problem as Phoenix did, but when we went back to do the follow up for the non TV households, we certainly found most of them were gone.
Uh huh. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Other questions, other comments? Well, Nancy, I think we plan to give people 15 minutes back because we made this 45, but they might get an extra 5 or so.
But really, if anyone's interested in participating in the follow-up study, send your details in, really, because we're certainly looking for people who want to have input.
Nancy, I want to acknowledge you for just a wonderful job of leadership on this team, of the research. People should know Nancy does it as a volunteer, as a Nielsen client, looking to support the Nielsen client community. And just really great job to you and your committee. And I thank the Nielsen Company for putting up the money to pay for the study. It's not a Nielsen study, but it was funded by Nielsen. And on that note, I'm going to thank everyone. And it was a great turnout today. And we'll have it on the website, and people can see the presentation and hear it delivered. So thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.